Welcome to the Horses Advocate Radio Show. I'm so grateful that you're spending your time here with me today. I am Jeff Tucker, and these are my opinions, observations, and experiences based on working with horses since 1973 and a horse vet since 1984. Please remember, while I am a veterinarian, I'm not your veterinarian. Only he or she can diagnose and treat your horse. Please visit thehorsesadvocate.com for more topics and in-depth articles, photos, videos, and courses. Thank you for seeking honest information and helping your horses thrive in a human world. So I have everyone ask me so many times, how can I walk up to a horse I've never seen before and without much fanfare, introduce my hand or my float blade into the horse's mouth and they accept it? They don't fight. They let me work on the horse. And my answer always is a question back to those people asking, how good are you at connecting with your spouse, your siblings, your parents, or the guy standing behind the counter at a convenience store? And inevitably, the people say to me, well, I'm not that good. So I say to them, well, get good with your own species before you start looking at the horse to get good with them. And everyone laughs and they're shocked, but it simply boils down to this. You have to know the difference between confidence and arrogance because your horse absolutely knows this. And once you learn that key secret, you'll be able to walk up to almost any horse. This is Doc T. And thank you for joining me at the Horses Advocate Podcast. Okay. There's two words that are very similar. The two words are arrogance and confidence. And it's hard for people to see the difference at first. They probably can feel the difference. They know the difference, but they have trouble seeing it, usually because confident people are so rare. Confident people are also misinterpreted as arrogant. But the horse really can see the difference between these two. An arrogant person will stand tall and assert themselves and demand respect and move through the processes of training a horse or having the horse do something or push them back in a stall so they can gain entrance or whatever. A confident person walks in and does the same thing with much fewer words and much fewer hand movements. And the root behind these two words is where you need to look. Arrogance comes from a scarcity consciousness, meaning you're unsure, you don't know if you're capable of doing it, but you feel like you have to prove something, you're unsure of yourself, you're afraid of the horse, you're afraid of the person, and so you assert yourself. It comes from a feeling or a core of being in lack, whereas confidence comes from someone who is humble, is not driving, but trying to either help, promote, lift up higher, make the other person or horse or whatever feel better about themselves than they did a moment before they met you. And when an arrogant person goes into horse stall, the horse may go to the back of the stall, and a confident person could walk in and the horse would go to the back of the stall. And if you're new to horses and you're looking at some of these trainers that are online or anybody working with the horses that are so-called professionals, you're drawing conclusions based on what you see. The horse also does the same thing. The difference is the horse is in tune. The horse knows how to read this energy where all this movement is coming from. Whereas most people are unaware of this. There's a podcast I did a while ago called Three-Dimensional Communications. It was a long one. It was actually split into two. You should go back and listen to those. But basically, humans are now so used to texting or phone calling, but they are very, what's the word I'm thinking of? Humans are not as experienced in face-to-face communication as horses are. I've yet to see a horse text another horse or pick up the phone and talk to a human. It just doesn't happen. Every horse out there is into face-to-face communication, which means they can feel, they can see the nuances in the face, You know, as you're looking at me, if you're watching this, or even if you're listening to this without seeing my face, there is a feeling that you're getting. And this is basically two-dimensional. You're hearing me. Maybe you're hearing and seeing me, watching my hands, watching my eyes, watching my mouth, watching how much I connect with you through this podcast, or if I'm averting my eyes. And you're asking yourself, is this somebody I can trust? Is this somebody who is giving me information that makes sense, that resonates well, that's not agenda-driven? Is this person really here to help me help my horse? And most people, if you've never seen me before work with a horse, it's amazing because time and time again, and it just happened yesterday, I walk into a barn I've never been in before with people I've never seen before with horses that they're trying to do the best they can for. And for whatever reason, they're not able to find the professionals to come to work with them. The farriers are aggressive with them. The last person, a veterinarian who came to float this horse, said, no, I'm not going to do it. One was dangerous. The other one had an injury to the knee, and she didn't want to push it around and overdrug it and strain that leg. And like, this horse is desperate to have its teeth done. And so I ask him, and I just place my hand, and I feel the sharp teeth, and I start floating, and the horse's head is down, touching me, saying, thank you, so grateful the pain in the mouth is gone. Because these teeth, they're rescued horses. They've never been, or years since anybody's floated the teeth, if ever. But it's not a magic trick. It's not me, you know, putting fairy dust over them or you know, doing some sort of dance or putting essential oils on them or whatever. It's none of that. It boils down to two things if you want to be successful in working with horses. Maybe it only boils down to one thing. Now that I think about it, it boils down to one thing, and that is to get control of yourself. A horse is a reflection of who you are. So if the horse is having problems with you, it's because of you, not because of the horse. And this happens with your teachers, with your parents, with your siblings, and the guy behind the counter at the convenience store. They just see so many people that lie, that have agendas, that are not honest or transparent. And we shut down. We don't even know how to handle these people. We just know that we don't want anything to do with them. And then we take it and we reflect it back onto the horse. And the horse says, I don't want anything to do with it either. So if you're brand new to horses, or you've been around horses for a long time, I don't know. I've been around them 52 years now as of this recording. So, you know, anytime less than that, maybe you've only seen 100 horses in your lifetime. And I've seen 100,000 horses. I mean, it makes a difference. But I didn't learn this until decades into this, that it was me that's the problem. And once I started to understand it was me, then everything fell into place. So let me help you with a couple of, I don't know, pointers. That'll help. First, you all know that I'm big into nutrition. Not that I'm, you know, got a ripped out, you know, muscles and I could be on a calendar. That's not it. But inside, my mind is feeling very good. There's no inflammation going on in my mind. The inflammatory foods that a lot of us eat are causing anxiety, depression, ADHD, not being able to concentrate, not having the ability to get into ourselves and calm ourselves down. For me, it's very easy now. It's just my normal state, but I don't eat inflammatory foods. There's no seed oils in my life. I try to avoid sugar. I sometimes fail, but I try to get my sleep. Sometimes I fail, you know, but overall, I'm trying to get as much sleep as I can, drink water as much as I can, and eat good foods, not processed foods. It's just one or two ingredients. It's a hamburger and a salad, let's say. And I calm my brain down because you've heard me talk about fructose, which is the sugar of fruit, and how it can inflame the brain. You've also heard me talk about a lack of energy to the brain. So it starts to chug along instead of firing at 100%. And If you haven't read the book Brain Health by Christopher Palmer, it's a good one to read. Another one is A Whole Brain Living, W-H-O-L-E, Whole Brain Living by Jill Bolte Taylor, that divides the brain into four parts. And the one part that I try to get into is the right thinking system and the right limbic system. And that's the part that allows me to appreciate gratitude and also connect with the universe. So, you know, a lot of you are tuning out right now. You're going to say, come on, Doc, you know, I need some solid stuff. Don't give me this frou-frou stuff. But if you can't connect to the universe and release all your burdens, the taxes you owe, or the leadership in the country, or the boss is being unfair, or the squabble you're having with your children or with your spouse, you know, if you can't release that when you walk in the barn, that's where you need to start. You need to just walk in the barn and sit down and become quiet and get in the right side of the brain where you're connecting with the universe, and you don't have your worries, doubts, fears, anxiety, and all that other stuff that's in the left limbic system. And you stay in the right limbic system, which is gratefulness, thankfulness. That's where you stay. And just sit there for as long as it takes until you understand that there's nothing better in your life than being in a barn, smelling the barn, hearing all the barn sounds, and just relaxing and being at peace with the horses there, or the dogs, or the chickens, or the cats, but just being in peace with yourself. And once you get into that state and you practice it so you can get there almost automatically, once you get to that one step, you're going to be so far ahead with working with horses. Because again, if you're having a problem with a horse, it's you, not the horse. I mean, don't get me wrong. Horses that are fed inflammatory ingredients, like all these grains. If you're feeding your horse something that if you look at the label and it has, you know, 5 to 10 to 20 to 30 ingredients on the back of the label, you are causing inflammation in your horse's brain and in its guts. And the horse will not be able to connect with you. Now, these are general terms. You're going to tell me, gosh, Doc, I've fed horses this, you know, mixed stuff for forever. And I throw carrots and candies and everything, and he does fine. Yes, there are some people and some horses, some animals that can do that. But if you're having a horse that is having difficulty connecting with you, like the horse I have today, who will throw you up against the wall and crush you just because it was trained by its owner, who is allowed to get away with everything, had no rules and boundaries, had no structure, no leadership, plus is being fed a lot of inflammatory ingredients. So once you take those ingredients away from the horse, now the horse's brain can calm down. Remember, fructose will affect a horse just the same as it affects your brain. It will cause inflammation. It will cause this anxiety. It will cause foraging behavior, as I said in one of my podcasts. It will drive risky behavior and aggressive behavior. And we want that to end. And most people stop feeding grain and reduce their hay consumption within 3 or 4 or 5 days, they have a brand new horse that's manageable. You can touch it. It's not going to jump out of its skin. So you have to work on the horse physically, make sure that's all set, and work on yourself as well. But when you get in the barn, and if you've been eating right, and you calm down, and you get in that gratefulness state, then walk into the stall and stay with attention to you and watch what the horse does. And they'll stop pawing. They'll stop fretting. They may say, no, I remember you. There, nothing good is going to come. And there's going to be that. And yes, you may need a professional trainer to help you. But you're going to be so far ahead of connecting with that horse. You know, once it overcomes that anxiety, that anxiousness feeling of, oh gosh, you're in the barn again. Oh gosh, you're in my stall again. They'll start to calm down. They'll start to say, okay, I see. For instance, when I walk into a stall, I'm a man and I'm a veterinarian. And usually those two things are not good for a horse. They're going to be injected, inspected, you know, made to do things they don't want to do, or they're in pain or something like that. And we as veterinarians have to overcome that and say, okay, hold on. I'm not that vet. I'm not that guy who abused you in the past. I'm here to do something else. I'm here to take your pain away or help you with a problem. And once you can start communicating with the horse, your intentions that way, the horse is going to say, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. And you have the doors open just a little bit for you to just open up a little bit and maybe a little bit wider, a little bit wider. And the more you work with the horse, the more they understand that you're there to actually help, the more they're willing to be helped. Horses aren't stupid. Horses love to communicate. People are afraid of thoroughbreds because they communicate so well. People are afraid of horses that are dominant or demanding, and they don't know how to stand up to them. You shy away from them. You're afraid. And now you're in that fear mode. And now you're trying to assert yourself. And now you're arrogant. You think you're stronger, bigger, faster than the horse. And you go in and say, you cut it out. You shaking your finger and all that stuff. And the horse is like this, going backwards, but he's not being led back. He's being chased back. If you just stop and allow the horse to come up to you, if you need help getting a halter on, a lead rope on, get some help. You know, maybe there's somebody else in the barn who's good, who can put the halter and lead rope on. And then you go in and hold on to the lead rope and just wait. And you may not get any further than that. Sometimes a horse will bolt away even though you're holding on to them. There are lots of risks and horses can kill you. It's your number one irrefutable law of horsemanship is a horse can kill you. And the second law is a horse can kill you is your own, because you just can't believe your horse would do it. And of course, the third irrefutable law of horsemanship is always have a lead rope and halter on. I see so many people come in and try to connect with horses with no physical attachment to the horse. Now, if the horse has never been physically attached to a halter and lead rope and you're new to horses, you shouldn't be in there. Okay? There are certain degrees that you need to achieve with a horse before you and your experience can match the horse. But if you have a horse that's like unwilling, not a willing partner, does silly things in the stall, walks right over you to go outside the stall, or, you know, here you are trying to work and all it's doing is going down trying to eat. You want a compliant, willing partner that's not needing to eat because it had all day to eat. And that's what I'm talking about. The horse that's just pawing or moving its head or doing things that are not signaling to the owner that the connection's been made. The horse is saying, no way. He's saying something that I can't say on this podcast because I don't know your age, but he's basically saying no. And you're going in there and saying yes. And so you have this argument of yes and no, no different than you and your children, or if you're a child, a youngster, a teenager, what you have with your parents this morning, where nobody can seem to talk, and you think you can start talking with your horse. It's not going to happen. If you can't talk with your parents, your siblings, your teachers at school, your employer, or a stranger on the street or in a convenience store, if you cannot talk to any human, your ability to talk to a horse is strained at best and non-existent at worst. And that's how I walk up to any horse that I've never seen before. And I just wait. I let them know who I am. And I bring my confident game. And confidence comes from humbleness. It's not coming from aggression of trying to dominate, trying to prove something. I'm just there in the moment. And again, if you don't understand that, you want to get with Jill Bolte Taylor and understand whole brain living. I'll try and remember to put that as a link in the podcast, and brain health, because horsemanship is all about getting your brain right. Once you get your brain right, you'll be able to get your horse right. And yes, there's a lot of trainers who'll come in and help you make that connection using gimmicks or using equipment or what have you. But if you want to make a true connection with everybody around you, including your horses and dogs, learn how to control the energy inside of you. Take a deep breath, and I'll try and keep this PG-rated thing, but there's a muscle that every human has, every dog, every horse, every animal on the planet has, and it's called the anal sphincter, and it is a tight muscle that prevents you from pooping until you want to poop, and then you relax it. If you can relax that, then you relax, because you can't be relaxed and be puckered up down there. Sorry, it's just one of those things that served me well. You could also say that you could imagine flowing the energy out of your body through your feet and into the ground. That works too. But if you ever get into an argument with somebody, try to relax the anal sphincter and take a breath. And it really makes a difference. And if the other person or other horse can't do it because they're all wound up, take your finger and poke them and just stop. And they're going to turn to you, the horse or the human, and say, why did you poke me? And you just say, I don't know. And they're just going to like, what? And it's called breaking the state, because the opposition, if you want to call it that, can be just as tense. And until you break their state, they can't communicate with you. But if you can't break your own state, they'll never communicate with you. So those are my tips for you. It's how I walk up to strange horses and strange people and do my thing. And if you've never seen it because you don't live anywhere in the United States and you're listening to this, or if you've never seen me walk up to a strange horse, I've got plenty of videos of me floating teeth over at the equine practice if you want to take a look at that. Yeah, I don't use medications on 97 out of 100 horses. That's 97% of the horses I work on, I don't have to medicate. That's another way of saying 3% of all horses I work on, I medicate from fear, anxiety, or mostly pain. And I have people who just shake their heads. I've had people just start crying, bawling their eyes out, saying, nobody's ever been able to work with my horse. My horse is just standing there and it's got his head dropped and it's like pressing up against you saying, thank you. It's no secret. I've been doing this for 52 years, so I've got some experience, well over 100,000 horses that I've interacted with since the day one, 80,000 that I've floated, that I've counted. So you just need to keep practicing and practice on yourself. Just take a moment, sit on a little bench or bale of hay or something in your barn, and just wait until you can calm yourself down, and then go and see how it's working with the horses, and they will come. They will always seek your level. Just remember this one thing. Water seeks the lowest level. You know that. Nobody's ever seen water spill up unless you're in the space shuttle or space station and there's no gravity. But on Earth, all water falls to the lowest level. All energy will fall to the lowest level. The difference is if you come into a horse and your level energy is higher than the horse will raise its energy to match yours and even exceed it. You've done this as you get in an argument with somebody. Somebody raises the energy and you automatically raise your energy to overpower them, and they overpower you and you overpower them, and then it comes to fists. You can't do that with a horse. They're bigger, faster, stronger. So if the horse raises the energy, you drive your energy down and wait. Every time the horse's energy will come down. It may be slow, it may be instant. Because they see you and then they see your energy go down and they immediately come to it. Some of them stay and you have to keep driving your energy lower and lower. And then finally their energy will come down. So that's leader. That's horsemanship in a nutshell. If you've never tried it, you should. And I appreciate you coming here and being part of the Horses Advocate. One little note, the Horses Advocate website is something that we're going to be revamping very soon. My son and I, my wife, are going to make it easier, more modern. I can't wait. We're going to have a little meeting on that this week. And it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a place where you can come and talk and be around like-minded people. And we'll discuss things like how to become a better horseman. And that's it. And I appreciate you being here, the Horse Advocate. Please tell other people about this. Subscribe to it if you haven't. Go to YouTube if you have a moment and play these things. Play them to the end. Try to get people to view this. Every time you do, you're supporting the Horse's Advocate and you're supporting the mission of helping horses thrive in a human world. And bless you. If you're a professional, if you're a veterinarian, and this is resonating with you, that's great. Drop me a line. Let me know that you're trying some of these things. Because if you're just going out to work with horses because you're trying to pay the bills, it's no fun. You'll burn out. But if you're going out there to improve yourself and be a better horse person, a better person, and start making these connections, it'll be a lot of fun. So thank you. Doc T out.
Hey, everyone. Doc T here. Thank you for listening to my content. Would you do me a huge favor? Would you please subscribe, comment, like, thumbs up, and give a star review? However it's presented to you, I want you to do that. There are two reasons. The first, of course, is to improve this product. This way I know what you like, what you don't like, what I can improve upon, what topics you want me to cover. But more importantly, it's also going to help others find me. And by doing that, you are now engaged in this mission of helping horses thrive in a human world. By you helping, we can reach others. And that I would be so grateful for. And remember, go to thehorsesadvocate.com for updates on this information. thehorsesadvocate.com, And again, thank you so much for being here. Doc T out.